Drexler just crashed through all of that, said the former Harper's Bazaar editor Kate Betts, who worked in Paris as a fashion reporter for the trade publication Women's Wear Daily during the late 80s. At Gap, where the lines blurred between men's and women's clothing, everyone could get in on the look, not just baby boomers, but their kids, too. Drexler's plan took more than a year to start showing results, but when it did, as he immodestly puts it, the brand took off like a rocket. Between 1984 and 1985, Gap Inc.'s annual revenue jumped from $518 million to $647 million. By 1990, sales had reached $1.93 billion. At that point, Gap really did, as it is hoping to do today, provide something for everyone. Drexler's Gap was born into a golden age of American retail. In the 80s, suburban malls were booming, having become a hangout spot for teenagers who flocked to their buffets of chain stores, food courts, and movie theaters. Specialty apparel stores, the retail category to which Gap belongs, started to dominate. Gap wasn't merely riding that wave. It definitely led the way, said Steven Goldberg, a retail veteran who heads the consulting firm SGG and Associates. Today, you can't go online without bumping into a brand selling casual basics, from Uniqlo to the five different no-name brands that keep advertising the perfect tank top on your Instagram feed. In the 80s, though, the revamped Gap had little competition. When I asked Cohen, the Columbia Business School professor, who it was going up against, he answered with one word: nobody. Gap clothes struck a balance of being stylish but not intimidating, affordable but good quality. The brand fitted with an increasingly relaxed clothes culture, and when many American workplaces adopted the practice of casual Fridays in the 90s, Gap was right there with an armful of khakis.